First Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read two passages from the New Testament and then some passages from the Old Testament. And the message tonight is, you are not your own. And we'll read those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 13. Meat for the belly, but the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. 19. Or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your spirit. Notice, you are not your own. Chapter 7. Verse 22. For he that was called in the Lord being a slave, that's the word, doulos, he that was called in the Lord being a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he that was called being free is Christ's slave. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, I read these verses, and in the will of God, what I'm reading to you in the New Testament, we'll find illustrated in the Old Testament. So this will help us to understand. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, Acts chapter 10, it's essential to read you at least these portions. Acts chapter 10, and look at verse 11. Peter is on the housetop and he's hungry. And in verse 10, he falls into a trance. And first Acts 10, 11, and he beholdeth the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending, as it were a great sheet, let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And the voice came unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done three times, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. Now while Peter was much perplexed in himself what the vision which he had seen might mean, and look at verse 19, and while Peter thought on the vision, so Peter's seen something, and he's thinking about it, and he's perplexed about it. But now, look over at verse 28. Some Gentiles from the household of Cornelius come to him. And verse 28 says, You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation. And yet unto me hath God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean. Wherefore also I came without gainsaying, when I was sent for. I ask therefore with what intent you sent for me. Now, we're going to read from the Old Testament the same thing that I've read to you in the New Testament, but in a disguised form. I read the New first so that you might be able to understand the Old. Leviticus chapter 11. First of all, let's look at the end of the chapter, at verse 46. Leviticus 11:46. This is the law of the beast, and of the bird, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may not be eaten. Now, look back at the first of the chapter. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the living things which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that may you eat. But now, some of God's creatures have one of these characteristics, but not the other. Listen at verse 4. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that part the hoof. The camel, because he cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because she cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof, she is unclean unto you. And the swine, because he parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, but cheweth not the cud, he is unclean unto you. Verse 9. These ye may eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales. And then verse 13. And these shall ye have an abomination among the birds. Look at verse 20. All winged creeping things that go upon all fours are an abomination unto you. Yet, these may you eat of all winged creeping things that go upon all fours, which have legs above the feet, wherewith to leap upon the earth. Now, Deuteronomy, so let's read 19, a little bit in 19 first. Leviticus 19. Verse 19. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a different kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with two kinds of seed. Neither shall there come upon thee a garment of two kinds of stuff mingled together. How strange. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 14, and I will read you this from chapter 22, and then show you in detail. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole fruit be forfeited, the seed which thou hast sown, and the increase of the vineyard. And it also says, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for whosoever doeth these things is an abomination unto the Lord. And it says, thou shalt not wear a mingled stuff, wool and linen together. Now, chapter 14 for a little bit, and we'll try to bring all these things together. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Verse 3. You shall not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which you may eat, the ox, the sheep, the goat, the hart, the gazelle, and so forth. Verse 11, of all clean birds you may eat. And then, verse 21, you shall not eat anything that dieth of itself. And verse 22, thou shalt surely tithe. And verse 28, At the end of every 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase in the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. I suppose that is enough reading. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that without apology, we read from the Scriptures because you have said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And you have told us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So, our God, from both old and new, we pray that we might understand. We remember that your Son spoke about those that had become disciples of the kingdom. They bring forth out of their treasure things new and old. And we thank you that all of the Word of God is pure gold, some of it old, some of it new. So, by thy Spirit, bless us this night. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you listen carefully and put together the Scriptures that I read to you, you will understand why I first read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which says, you are not your own. You say, well, why would you read that and then all of those heterogeneous Scriptures from the Old Testament? I will explain to you now, and you'll see why. Here is an Israelite, and he is in covenant relationship with God. May that Israelite have an appearance to the world the way he wants to look. May he wear the clothes he wants to wear. May he eat what he wants to eat. May he put the material on his body that he wants to wear. You say, why all of those things that you were reading about prohibited all those things? Think of this thing. It means that if an Israelite wanted his appearance, or a woman of Israel wanted her appearance to be of such and such a nature, she was not permitted to look the way she wanted to, or to wear what she wanted to, or to eat what she wanted to, or to marry whom she wanted to. You say, well, she couldn't do anything she wanted to, and neither could the man. That is why I read to you in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. And when it said for freedom did Christ set us free, it does not mean that you're free to look the way you want to do what you want to do, to eat what you want to do. It means that you are now free to do what God wants you to do. When the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, were they free to do what God wanted them to do? You say, no. They were slaves and they had to do what Pharaoh wanted them to do. So they were slaves when they were in Egypt, and once God freed them, when that blood was put on the lintel and on the doorpost, and they were freed, then were they free and in subjection to no one? You say, no, they became slaves of God. Then all of us are simply slaves to one master or another. You say, well, I was once lost. Well then, you were under the power and the authority of the prince of the power of the air, Satan. You were a slave. Because the Lord Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And those Jews said, we have never been in bondage to any man. Only for 400 years in Egypt, that's all. But they had forgotten that, you see. And so they were freed, and they were on their way to the promised land, but they were freed from being slaves to Pharaoh, and they became slaves to God. And that's why I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because here is the strange thing. We're at a meeting, and some of you are of one social standing, and some of you are of another social standing. And in the days of Paul, there were some that were literally slaves, and there were some that were masters and were free. And so Paul said to the slaves, he says, now that you trusted Christ as Savior, you are no longer a slave, but you are Christ's free man. And so a slave, when he was saved, became God's freed man. But here is this master that was free, and Paul says to him, and you who were free have become God's slaves. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You come and you have two different social standings. One is a slave, but Paul emphasizes this. When you were saved, you became the Lord's free man. He's not free as a slave, but he is free as God's freed man spiritually. And here is one who is free after the flesh, but he became God's slave. So you are not your own. I want to bring out that some of the things in the Old Testament have been canceled. Some of the things in the Old Testament have been carried over into the New Testament. And so some of those things that we read about in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, we do not have to be concerned with anymore. But some of the things that we read in the Old Testament, they haven't been set aside, but they've been brought over into the New Testament. You know that God tells you that you are not permitted to eat anything that you want to eat, but if there is love in your heart, your diet is controlled by those that are stumbled when it comes to eating meat. More about that in the will of God later. But what I want to emphasize is this. In the Old Testament, they were not their own. And in the New Testament, we are not our own. And when I've told you all of these things, if there is the flesh that is predominant in you, it will rise up and say to God, who are you to tell me everything that I'm supposed to do concerning my whole life? And his answer is, I am simply God, your creator. And this is a strange thing, how we could ever think that we were anything other than creatures. Because we have always, from the moment that man came into existence, been subject to another. We have never been free to do what we please, because in the Garden of Eden, as Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was something that he had to do, and there was something that Adam could not do. Adam could do anything he chose except eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord Jesus could have any prayer answered he wanted except, take this cup from me. And he had to say, nevertheless, not my will. Of your beards. And so God didn't say, you be clean shaven and you look better with a beard. God said, you all ought to have beards. And concerning the hair and the priest, you'll find in Ezekiel, this is the law that God gave. He said, now the priests are not to shave their hair off. They're not to be bald headed. And he said, and they are not to let their hair grow long. They are simply to cut the lock of their head. You see that moderation? A man couldn't let his hair grow so long, and he didn't have to cut it so short. And in the New Testament, if a woman had long hair, it is a glory to her. And so some things do come over into the New Testament. And yet, we disregard those things. But I'm telling you what God says. So here is a person, and the woman could not have her face and her appearance to be the way she wanted. It had to be the way that God wanted. And here is a man, and he wanted his face to look a certain way because he is more handsome without a beard. God said, that doesn't concern me. So that's the first thing. Now the second is this. some people like to dress in clothes that are feminine, even though the man is masculine. And some who are feminine want to dress like men. God said, and I read it to you, no, you cannot dress like a woman if you want to. And women, you cannot dress like a man if you want to. You say, well, then a woman, as long as she dressed like a woman, could wear anything she wanted, and a man that dressed like a man could wear anything he wanted. No. All the Israelites had to have a tassel, a ribbon of blue, at the end of his garment. But I don't go well with blue, God said. It makes no difference to me. All of you have garments, and there is to be a ribbon, a tassel of blue, hanging down from your garment. You say, well, you've told me I can't do but certain things to my face, and now you've told me I can't dress like a woman or a man, and you've told me that I can't wear the clothes I want to, but it has to have a tassel on it. That's exactly right. Well, let me get out of this area. God says, no, there's another thing. You have the proper clothing, but you must understand that you cannot put on a garment that is mingled wool and linen. Stuff that is mixed, God says, you can't wear it. And what it means is that my undershirt, or the shirt I'm wearing, is 80% cotton and 20% nylon or rayon, and the Lord says, nope, you can't wear that. You see how absurd these things are? In one sense, they are absolutely absurd. And suppose you have a big field, and you say, now, this year, I want to grow two things. And so in this field, I'm going to plant cotton, and I'm going to plant soybeans. The Lord said, no, you can't plant two different kinds of seed in the same field. There is a scripture I wanted to read you, but I did not. God said, when you build a house, on the roof, you have to have a banister. You have to have a railing. But my house doesn't look good with a railing around it. God says, it doesn't matter how it looks. This is the way it has to be. You say, well, you're controlling everything. I can't look the way I want to. I can't wear what I want to. I can't plant my palm the way I want to. What is it that I may do that I want to? God says, you're free to do everything that I tell you to do. So think now for these things that I told you about. All of these things, because a man sits down at his table and he says, well, at least I'm away from the authority of God now. I think that I will have some shrimp or I will have some catfish. And God says, absolutely not. You can't eat those creatures that are in the waters. Why? Because a catfish does not have scales and fins. That's why. And neither do shrimp. And so you can't eat that. Well, there's one thing I like. It's a pork roast. God says, I'm sorry, but you can't eat that pork roast. Now, do you understand why I read all these scriptures to you? What is Israel free to eat? What God tells them they may eat. What may they wear? What God tells them to wear. Well, what is their appearance to be? That which God tells them it is to be. Well, what is their form to consist of? What God tells them it's to consist of. You are not your own. And yet we act so independently. You say, well, thank God, some of these things have been terminated, and I don't have to worry about not eating the kind of fish or seafood that I want to. Well, once you're right, because, and I could have read you this verse, you'll find it hinted at in Mark 7, but in 1 Timothy 4, it says this, every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, because it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now think, in the Old Testament, it said, these creatures are unclean. They are abomination unto you. But in the New Testament, it says, every creature of God is good. One thing that was so interesting, the simple things that I'm telling you right now, I remember one day being up north, and a dear sister, You remember I told you about the mothers, the 100 mothers and the 100 homes that you get? And I was in the home of a dear mother, I was young at that time, and this dear lady brought out a pork roast and set it on the table. And somehow the conversation came up about meat, and I said, oh yes, as Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 4, every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused. She said, praise the Lord. She said, I've had a guilty conscience for years every time I serve pork. And I said, you don't have to worry anymore because every creature of God is good. But there are some, and I always get under his skin if I can, Willie McNeil, because Willie McNeil hates pork. And he is sitting at a sister's table, and she's serving him a pork roast, and she says, Brother McNeil, would you give thanks? And this is his thanks. Lord, if you can bless under grace what you cursed under the law, then receive our thanks for this food. And then he eats it. But he's never been delivered. He thinks that every creature of God is not good. Because you'll see that it's not the way we think. It's not because an animal is a pig or a rabbit or a squirrel. Because as a young boy, I used to go hunting, and then I would bring this game home, and my mother would fix it for me. But in the Old Testament, that would not be permitted. But you'll find that a rabbit would be just as clean as some of the other animals that are mentioned. But God says it has to possess two characteristics. It has to chew the cud, and it has to have a cloven or a divided hoof. If it has one of these characteristics, it's unclean. It doesn't matter which one it is. Now, I will pause to tell you this. I tell you that the God of Israel, without a spiritual understanding and interpretation of the things that I've told you, is a God that is unreasonable and his demands are unmeaning. When you have the tabernacle, God says, the material is to be fine linen. And the entrance is to have blue and purple and scarlet. And this piece of furniture is wood and gold. And this piece of furniture is solid gold. What difference does it make? There is absolutely nothing reasonable about it if it is all literal. It is simply arbitrary. But then you turn to the New Testament, and God tells us what all these things meant in the Old Testament. Now, listen to me. Do you realize that in the Scripture, animals are pictures of men, and seed are pictures of men, and materials are pictures of characteristics of nature? I'll give you the last one first. It says in the book of Revelation that the fine twine linen, the linen, white and clean, is the righteousness of the saints. You say, I see. Then when it speaks of a material, some material is characteristic of righteousness and some of a different nature. That is right. Now let me ask you this. When God mentions these animals, do you not realize that some animals are pronounced unclean and some clean, and some animals are mentioned because of their characteristics? They would never be permitted to eat lions, but our Savior is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. How dare God call his son an unclean animal? It's not the cleanness in this instance. It's the power, the ferocity, the preeminence of this animal. And so when God tells you about animals in the Old Testament, it is sometimes they are typically clean or unclean, and sometimes they have a typical significance like this. All we like sheep have gone astray. You say, well, then it's not the cleanness or uncleanness. It's the waywardness. That's the nature, the character of a sheep. Now you understand. You see? Concerning the animal again, why one could eat it and could not eat it. It is not what the animal is inherently, but it is its characteristics. Two things. If it chewed the cud, it was right inwardly. And if it had a hoof that was parted or cloven, it was right outwardly. Now, some of the animals had a cloven hoof. They were right outwardly, but they did not chew the cud. They were wrong inwardly. And some of the animals chewed the cud inwardly, but they did not have the cloven hoof or foot, and they were wrong outwardly. But God said, the animals you eat have to be right on the inside and on the outside. Now, I want you to see that animals are men. I've told you about the characteristics, and the Lord Jesus tells us this. In Psalm 22, he said, strong bulls of Bashan, dogs. And when the Lord Jesus was speaking to that Gentile woman, that Syrophoenician woman, he said, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And so we Gentiles, up until Acts chapter 10, when it was explained to Peter, when he understood it had been done before, but until it was explained to Peter, we were looked upon as unclean animals. And for that reason, God had to show Peter from heaven that all those things that were spoken of in the Old Testament were temporary, they were types and shadows, they were imposed until a time of reformation. And the Lord Jesus from heaven said, this is the time of reformation. Now, when he showed him that sheet from heaven, he did not have Chinese and Japanese and French and Indians and English and Scottish men and women on that sheet, but he had animals on that sheet. And when Peter saw those animals, he could not understand about it. But then when the household of Cornelius came, pictured in those unclean animals on that sheet, and Peter said, it's not lawful for me to come and have fellowship with you. Then God revealed to Peter that God, who pronounced those animals clean, had pronounced Gentiles clean. Do you see now? All right. Here we have a command from God as to what you could sow in your field, but also he told you the way that you had to plow. Suppose you had a field that was ever so difficult to plow, and you had an ox, but it was old and feeble, but you have a strong donkey, and if you yoke those two animals together, you could plow that field more easily. God said, you cannot plow with a donkey and with an ox. Why? Because an ox is a picture of one that is clean and saved, and a donkey is a picture of one that is unclean and unsaved. Listen to this and you'll understand. When the Israelite was grinding the corn, he had put in harness the ox, and the ox would go round and round grinding out the corn. And God said in the Old Testament, you shall not muzzle the ox when he grindeth out the corn. And though this stingy farmer, even though that ox is working itself to death for the farmer, he would put a muzzle on it so it couldn't eat that corn. But God said, absolutely not. That ox has to have the opportunity to partake of that corn that it's grinding for you. Now, in 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul, in defending his right to receive remuneration for preaching the gospel, he says, this scripture, they that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel, is illustrated in that ox that could not be muzzled when it ground out the corn. Do you understand? Because here are some that would work men, I told you this morning, that we go forth, cast upon God, dependent upon God, and some would work the servants of God to death, and put a muzzle on them and not let them get anything among those for whom they're working. How do I know that? Because the Apostle Paul said, you shall not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. He says, does God care for oxen, or is God speaking concerning us? He said, God is speaking concerning us. And so those that are servants of the Lord are like oxen that are grinding out the corn. And Paul says, You can't muzzle that ox. And that means that a servant of God is free to live in the area in which he's serving God. They that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. You say, who would ever thought such a thing? Well, that's why God gave us the interpretations in the New Testament. You see, when in Mark 7 and in Matthew 15, the disciples were eating with unclean hands, and they were criticized for it, the Lord Jesus said, you hypocrites. He said, don't you understand? It's not what goes in a man that defiles a man. It's what comes out of his heart. And then they were beginning to understand, not what goes in, such as an unclean animal or an unclean fish, but that which comes out of the man. He said, if it goes into you, it goes out into the draft, and everything is clean. Don't you understand that? And so what God is telling us is spiritual lessons in the New Testament. Understand this, that in the Old Testament, yes, it was absolutely true. They were not to eat pork. They were not to eat rabbits. That was absolutely liberal for them. But now that these things have come, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, it no longer is prohibited for us to eat any animal or fish in the water, because every creature of God is good. But you still may not eat what you want to eat for this reason. If there is an Orthodox Jew that comes to your house to have dinner with you, and you're trying to win him to the Lord, do you think it would be good to put a pork roast on the table? Do you think so? You say no. Well, what do you do? You say, at that time, temporarily, I am not permitted to eat pork. Why, of course. Not because we are under the law, but Paul said, I am become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And so some things we do not do today, not because we are under the law, but because we are under the law of love, and we do everything to save lost souls. You say, I understand. Now, that's why I read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Why is it that you can't plow with an ox and with a donkey? Because what fellowship has light with darkness? What communion? What part have the unsaved with the saved? Here is what you'll find. That when Nehemiah had gone back and he was building the ruins of Jerusalem, some of the enemies, some of the foreigners came and said, let us help you build. And Nehemiah said, absolutely not. Why? Because had those unsaved been laboring with the saved, the chosen children of Israel, that would have been an ox plowing with a donkey. And God forbade it. They didn't know that then, but that is what God was telling them. Now, I told you that men are animals, but do you know that men also are seed? You say, men are seed? Yes, you'll see it in a moment when I tell you. In Matthew chapter 13, it says that a man went forth and he sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, someone came and sowed tares in the field. So here is a field with two different kinds of seed, wheat and tares. You say, well, what can that mean? The Lord Jesus doesn't leave us in any doubt what it means. It says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the good seed are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the wicked one, the devil. You say, now I see it. You don't sow two different kinds of seed in the field, because that would be having the saved and the lost, and that is not what God wants. And in that parable, even though the field is the world, a man's field is not the world. That is his possession. In the world, the wheat and the tares grew side by side, but it does not say that in the church let them grow together. When you have a tare, when you have a sinning child of God in the church, it says, put that wicked man away from among you. And so God still has those distinctions. So you say, men are seed. Yes. And the most precious thought is this. In John chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. It abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now who do you think that seed is that falls into the ground and dies? You say, that is my Savior. And who do you think those seed that come forth from his death, who are they? You say, why, that is we. We are those men are seed. And so do you understand now what God has been telling us? All the Jews for so long a time were literally and correctly so at that time, observing meticulously the distinction between a pig and a cow, between a rabbit and a hart, a gazelle, and all of these things were so. But now that the Lord Jesus has come on the scene and shown them that it's all temporary, it's typical, it is a shadow, then we are no longer dependent upon those things. And now what you have to do is this. Whenever God is teaching you something in the New Testament, look in the Old Testament and see a physical picture of it. And when you see a physical picture in the Old Testament, look for the explanation of it in plain words in the New Testament. Let us learn to make a distinction between the clean and unclean, and let us learn that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, how many lessons you have to teach us. Our God, if we were unsaved, we could say with Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord, I shall not obey him. But our God, we are those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And therefore, this is eternal life, that they should know thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And so, Father, we cannot say who is the Lord. We know who you are. We know who your Son is. And you bought us with a price. And therefore, we cannot say we are our own. We are not our own. Paul, the slave of Jesus Christ, and we also, having been born again, are slaves of Jesus Christ. Let us understand that we are not our own. And let us realize that our lives now are to be lived to the glory of God, that we are not to please ourselves, but we are to please him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Help us to understand and be able to distinguish between clean and unclean, and what we are free to do and what we are not free to do. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.